You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Down by two.
What it do, baby? This is another episode of the Down by Two podcast with your co-host, Josh Elijah. And my right hand man, Jesse McKay, aka Birdman. Burr.
How you doing, buddy? Good. What's up, buddy?
Man, you know what's up. We've been
You know what's up.
You already know what it is. It's been busy. Very, very busy week over here at Down by Two Studios in the back of my house.
Busy.
Yeah, man, it's been a grind. There's been lots on our plates lately. Figuring out traveling schedules, with all the coverage that we've been doing. And also just creating a ton of content for our partners over at Tony Bet, which has been great. Really awesome collaborating with them and doing a lot of socials with them. If you haven't yet, make sure you go check out the app and open up a sports book with them. Great app, great odds. Got nothing but good things to say about them. And it's just been really, really great to stroke that creative nerve, if you will, that creative chord. And it's the dream, you know, just talking about sports all day and get to do it with my best buddy, man. So
we're just like full-blown TikTokers now. It's funny. It's not what I pictured us doing, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah, we're full and it's funny because like I'm at this point, especially when it comes to TikTok, like I don't actually care about TikTok.
Yeah.
Like same. I don't fucking it is just this whole other platform that I have to learn an algorithm for, because that's been the crazy part about all this. Cause you could have a reel that pops off on Instagram and does pretty well, gives you a few K, and then TikTok, you get, you're like in 200 to 400 view jail. And same thing with YouTube. Like I don't understand YouTube sometimes either, because like there are some videos that will get thousands of views, and then others, I posted one about like the Battle of Alberta happening last weekend, and it got literally 13 views. And I'm just like, what is the hate on for the Flames right now? Well, I guess we'll get into it because, you know, all of the NHL right now is waiting for them to be able to make some more trades and really set the market, which they already have with Chris Tanev, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Anyways, it's crazy. I don't understand. And then so now to throw TikTok into the mix too, and that's just another platform that I have to worry about and worry about the algorithm. It's just like it's too much. I don't know how you do it on a daily basis for your job.
It's taxing, bro. Taxing. Like,
oh, I do not.
That's why I'm so tired all the time. It's just like, man, like so much of my creative energy goes into that, and then I'm just zapped, you know?
Yeah.
Some things will even pop off on TikTok, and then Instagram, it's just like so bad. And I just don't get it. Like, no one's ever going to figure it out. I don't know if we just sound like fucking social media boomers right now, but
no one's
going to figure it out, bro.
Well, the Gen Zers have.
Gen Zers.
The Gen Zers. I feel like some of our friends, like Jody McDonald, shout out Jody. Like, she laughs at me for like not just getting it. And I'm just like, ugh, like.
Well, all you have to do is post about Taylor Swift and you'll get views, so.
Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, it seems like I feel like there's just certain topics that do well on certain platforms, like TikTok loves the NHL. But anytime I throw about basketball or throw something on about basketball, TikTok literally tells me to go fuck myself and like get this trash out of here. And then, but like hockey is just like, that's a bit better. So it's, and it's funny because like this podcast takes different, different strides in different ways. Like, I feel like there's been a lot more basketball content as of late, especially, I mean, because we've been working with the NBA. So it definitely makes sense that that's where a lot of our efforts have gone, you know, very NFL heavy as well with their in with the Panthers now. So it takes us in those sort of directions. But like when it comes to content, we want to make sure that we are covering all of our bases. And so the NHL is something that, you know, puck definitely falls by the wayside sometimes. So whenever we put something out there, the algorithm is telling us to do more of it. So we just have to, I think we just got to expand a bit more. I mean, that's, I think we just got to start expanding. And that's definitely something that is along the horizons as well, especially when it comes to our good old folks over at Crier Media. Look, a little sponsor read here. Visit Crier.co for all things DB2 and sports related content. Lots of fun stuff coming up down the pipe. We got more announcements for you guys coming as well. Spill too much as of right now, but there come April, things are looking pretty different when it comes to some of our coverage as well. So stay tuned. We'll be releasing that as well very shortly. But you can't forget about our other go-to guys like Indestructible MFG. Visit Indestructible online and use promo code down by a two for 15% off your next order. And of course, I mean, your boys over at Yup Beer, let's just fucking crack one of these right there. Man, in a minute.
Mandatory at this point. This is it's like the podcast staple. Gotta have a Yup.
Gotta have a Yup. I feel like I've just been showing the can and I haven't been drinking them. Just because, you know, I mean, it's the middle of the week and we got shit we got to do. Like, we're working. Man, I don't know about you, but I am up sometimes till like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning editing. So,
yes. That is the grind of you know, a couple guys on social media.
Yeah, dude, it is crazy, and like the amount of stuff that goes into it, like y'all don't under fucking stand. Like there's so much editing and just making sure you're blocking out all the ums and ums and dead space and what have you. But it's honestly, man, you get in a groove and it's fucking fun. So wouldn't change it for the world. And to be doing it with you, my man, it's been a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
We have to do a huge backlog of different content, and that's kind of what this episode is going to be, is kind of a mashup of some of the content that we have pre-recorded ahead of the NHL trade deadline, because your boy is fucking off to Cabo. I'm taking a week with my lovely wife, and we are heading down to Mexico, and I'm going to pickle myself with margaritas.
Much deserved.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been,
you know, you need some time off, bro. You've been working like crazy and grinding, so
I feel
nice to just sit there and just not do absolutely nothing.
I feel like as soon as the calendar year turned over, as soon as 2024 hit, it's just like bam, off to the races, which is great, and that's what we love. But a lot of huge strides for us too. But yeah, I'm just fucking excited. I'm excited to just drink a few cervezas, have a few tacos, and just let my barrel hang out there on the beach and fucking actually wear some swim trunks that don't dissolve in the fucking water. So that's gonna be nice too. Some real jorts.
I liked those. Those were cool. Then when they dissolved, cool. I was like, oh man, I actually like the pattern.
Yeah, they had bananas on them or something.
Yeah,
I knew there was something up because there weren't any fucking pockets. That's like I'm just I didn't know. Like, I'm just like, ooh, weird. These trunks don't come with pockets. Oh, also weird. They're not on me anymore. So
oh, that's not a pocket. That's my wiener.
That's my dinky. yeah, man. Yeah, it's gonna be dope. Have you been down to Mexico before?
I have. Yeah, to the Riviera though, not the West Coast.
Ah, my Riviera. Yes, yeah. Yes.
I haven't been to
Cabo before. Yeah, man.
I loved it, bro. Like, honestly, Mexico is probably like out of, I don't know if you consider it the Caribbean, but out of that area, it was probably my favorite
Central
place.
Central America.
I've been to. Yeah. The food is just unreal. Like, you know, when you've had a couple drinks, it's like later in the evening, you've already had your dinner, right? So the restaurants are all closed and whatever. And
yeah,
you gotta get something in you before bed, and your late night like food shack or whatever is tacos, bro.
Yeah.
And it's like so sick. Like you don't have to deal with like weird burgers or weird pizza, like whatever, whatever else it's they just serve you. It's just
tacos,
burritos, like, yeah. And it's like authentic. So it's really good.
Bro, that's our flex too, though. Even when we were in Orlando, like a lot of taco shops, and I feel like we hit up the majority of them.
Down like probably the best ones.
Probably, but that was probably only like 25% of them, but because there's just taco shops everywhere, but that is our jam. I'm always down for a late night taco. We've done this before with Grill Guy. If you had to go taco or nachos, I know, you know, nachos aren't really Mexican authentic, but like,
yeah,
if you had to pick one or the other, nachos or tacos, which one would you go with?
Oh, I got to go with tacos, bro. Yeah. Like there's so many different kinds of tacos. You can do like fish tacos too, right? Like if you put fish on nachos, that's kind of weird.
That's
right?
A little beat. Yeah. I don't know about that.
I just like the variation better. Plus like, if you're not layering the nachos properly, they're going to suck. Right. So
what about tacos, tacos or hot dogs?
Oh man, you can't do me like that, bro.
I thought you were gonna tell me to go get fucked, but
no, man. No, are you kidding
do
me?
It like, glizzy?
Are you
do it for the glizzy?
I'll eat a glizzy like cold, raw, hot, fucking overcooked. I don't care. In a bun on its own, in other food.
Two, three, four, yeah.
Five, six, seven.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah, that's tough. I mean, I gotta go taco because I feel like glizzies would. I mean, if I just had to drop one and do glizzies, I cut my life expectancy in half. So
worth it. Though.
Worth it. Yeah. Oh, I'd do anything for the glizzy. Got that $1.50 dog in me, you know?
Oh yeah.
but yeah, man, it's gonna be good. I'm gonna fuck off and we'll be back. We got a real big episode coming back as well. Fuck it, I'll spill the beans now. We got old Jack Armstrong, broadcaster of the Toronto Raptors, joining us back on the week that we take so we're taking the next week off. Following week, we're coming back with that interview. It'll be great to catch up with Jack Armstrong as well. He'll be on the road in Denver. So it'll be great to catch up with him there. Disappointing that he doesn't get the Orlando trip. So that must be a Sportsnet game when we're down there covering the Raptors. I guess we'll just have to put up with Alvin Williams. But it'll be great to catch up with Jack. He's honestly one of, like, without him, this podcast wouldn't be at the level that it is today. He just really opened the door for the caliber of different guests that we can get on the show. And that was, I think it was the fifth episode that we had on. So, I mean, we'll get back into all the reminiscing and all that type of stuff, but really stoked to have him back on the show and catch up after a bit of time. Look forward to that after we take our little break. But other than that, going into this episode, we wanted to break down the NHL trade deadline. And what we've done with Tony Bet Online is putting out a 7-part series covering all of the Canadian NHL franchises and the moves that they need to make or not make before the deadline. And we sat down with Shane from Leafs Nation. We just had him on the show talking about, the MVP power rankings for the NBA. And then he jumped on and is now more in his wheelhouse when it comes to NHL trade talk. That is literally his bread and butter. Mm-hmm. So it was great to be able to have him on and break down each one of these teams. And like I mentioned, already things shaken up with Chris Tanev being dealt from the Calgary Flames over to the Dallas Stars. Jesse, it seems like the Flames need to start making moves or continue to make moves to be able to set the market.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the ones that kind of get the ball rolling, right? Like, seems like they're still going to trade a couple guys, right? So,
I mean, I would be surprised if Hannafin is still at the end of all this.
I mean, you know he doesn't want to be there. You know he doesn't want to even be in Canada, so...
Yeah,
if you hold on to them, it's such a wasted asset. So
it's like, weird.
I
don't know where he's gonna go because everyone says like either Boston or Tampa, but like
those are perfect teams for a guy like that, don't you think?
But here's the thing: is that what's interesting about the Chris Tanev trade is that they didn't get back a first, which which was a bit surprising, but I still think that they got a decent enough haul for him. Mm-hmm. But didn't get back a first. But Noah Hanifin is going to demand a first. And I don't know if the Bolts or the Bruins actually have that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And to be able to give to them. So
the one thing I'll say about the Tanev trade is I think that they were looking for a first from another Canadian team or like a rival team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because the asking price is a little higher because it's a rival. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think that they would have got that from anyone else. There's no incentive to, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe that's why it kind of went down like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just speculation. I don't really know. I'm not a fucking GM over here.
But we like to play it.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Maple Leafs, there's going to have to be some moves. We literally just saw Gio go back to the locker room as we record this. So if that's the case, we're going to need to make sure that we bolster up. It seems inevitable that we are going to get some sort of D. Who do you want to see in a Leafs tarp?
Stop. Whenever you say tarp, I just like can't take it seriously. Whatever. Who do you
see in a Maple Leafs tarp?
Man.
For real though, doggy.
Who do you So you know the one name that's been linked to the Leafs for like 4 years now is Matt Dumba. He's on the Coyotes, and I mean, if you're the Coyotes, you're looking to grab assets too, right? So
yeah.
Why not? Why the hell not?
They've been sliding as of late. They've been playing some good puck, but sliding as of late.
Yeah, they started out hot, but
yeah. And so I just I like it. I would like Dumba. I think he would definitely bring some depth. Maybe Labushkin.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they tried that already, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know if they want to. I don't know if they want to go back to that.
Yeah.
Plus, he's not really like a top pairing kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's more of a depth guy. So
anybody else that you see here? I mean, like I think we're pretty. I would like to see Dumba. So
yeah, I would like Dumba too. And then obviously there was the Hanifin thing, but you know that was all before he's explicitly stated or his agent stated that he doesn't want to play in Canada. So I think that rumor was you know going around just for like a hot minute.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I mean I definitely think that they're gonna make a pair of moves. The over under right now is set at 1.5 moves on whether or not front office and Tree Living are gonna make more than 1.5 moves.
That's a lot.
Two moves. I mean, they're usually pretty busy at the deadline, but that is under the Dubas reign. So
yeah, and like also, I think in years past, like everyone kind of looked at them as a legitimate contender. But like this year, I feel like the expectation is a little lower. Don't you think? Like, I don't really view them as like a Stanley Cup favorite, you know.
Oh no, and we already had our Stanley Cup by making it to the second round last year. So I mean,
yeah. So you don't even have to try.
No.
You don't have to try to make the playoffs.
Don't even need to make the fucking playoffs.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though. Like,
yeah,
I don't think that shipping out like firsts and like prospects and all that really makes sense if you're not really in that conversation, right? So maybe it's better to make your moves in the off season when you can actually like get someone with term or like sign a free agent, like something like that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I think Tree Living like under the helm now, I feel like he's got to set some sort of a precedent. And I think Dubas definitely always gave the Leafs fans what they wanted and action at the deadline and go out and get those guys and put together those teams. So I feel like Tree Living has to do something along those lines. He seems to be pretty smart with his processes and you know understanding what fits and what works. So yeah, I think I don't know. I definitely think there's going to be some more action coming from there. I'm honestly more interested to see what type of stuff shakes out with the Vancouver Canucks. To be honest, I mean, you know, the Leafs are obviously I give them way more of a shit about the Leafs than. You know, what the fuck happens to the Canucks? I could care less, but they they have a way more interesting situation, especially with this Pettersson situation as well.
Yeah. I think he'll get re-signed. Like,
yeah.
There's no way you're letting him walk. Like, you're going to give him whatever the fuck he wants. And
apparently they were exploring some sort of trade talks. There were trade talks.
I don't know who you would get in return to make that trade fair.
To the Canes? Yeah, they were talking about him to the Canes. That there was some trade talks. Yeah.
I heard Martin Natchez's name in trade rumors. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Is it Natchez or Nikas or
Natchez?
Natchez.
Yeah.
Got me again there, Natchez.
Yeah. I think Pettersson's an RFA still too, so he doesn't have a choice. He ain't going nowhere.
Just around the league though, I mean, with Stone now out for the rest of the year, you're gonna look at to see the Golden Knights make some moves as well to be able to do that. So they put him on, he's out for the regular season. Sucks for the majority of my hockey fantasy teams because I got him. Yeah. Man. And so I could definitely see there's names that are floating around there like Toffoli, Buchnevich as well.
Yeah, right.
You know, Eberle from the Kraken. Those are definitely options as well. But if the Knights are going after them, then you better believe the Oilers are also going to go after those guys as well.
Yeah, there's also Jake Guentzel, Pittsburgh, right? I think he's being dangled around. So
yeah.
I mean, I heard he was rumored to go to either Edmonton or Vancouver, but man, I could see a player like that going to Vegas. Vegas always gets what they want, eh? Like,
yeah,
they just get the guy at the deadline and they make their run and then they're just like, all right, see you later.
They're the newest like young brother of the league. I mean, that would be the Kraken, but it's the Vegas Knights. They're just new and they get what they want and then they fucking win. And it's it's already gotten annoying and they've only been around for a minute. So and who doesn't want to go play in Vegas, to be completely honest? Like it'd be a hell of a time. But yeah, I mean, not to spoil a little bit more, but again, we had Shane Cini from the Leafs Nation as well that jumped on and was able to give us our insights. So why don't we cut to some of that micro content and some of the insights that he brought to covering all of the Canadian NHL franchises and what their moves are looking like at the trade deadline. Here it is. NHL trade deadline is rapidly approaching, and in this 7-part series, we're going to be covering every NHL Canadian franchise with Shane from Leafs Nation. Now, Shane, we're going to start off with the Vancouver Canucks on the West and move our way to the East. The Canucks have already been busy before the deadline. Do you see them making any other moves?
Yeah, absolutely. Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin are in charge there, and they love to deal. So I'm going to say, because of the fact that they haven't really gone so well since Elias Lindholm joined them, they're at about 500 and they're still going to be aggressive. The hovering piece for them is Elias Pettersson's contract for next year. Apparently he's not that interested in signing it. So the team's kind of in that, you know, balance trying to figure out what exactly to do. They're not going to trade him or anything, but it's definitely going to influence the kind of deals they do, but they're going for it. And I expect them to make a move with the Pittsburgh Penguins for Jake Guentzel. I think they have a huge history between the two franchises. Rutherford and Alvin used to be there running ship there throughout a couple of their championships. So look for Pittsburgh and Vancouver to talk here in the next week, and we could see another blockbuster coming out from Western Canada.
Jesse, anything to add to that?
I think the Canucks have to make a choice on whether they want to bolster their D or go for another forward who can be a difference maker. I mean, they already went and got Lindholm, like you said, and they got Zadorov, but I think another defensive piece to bolster the penalty kill would really help their playoff run.
I mean, also look at Guentzel as well, and for the Pittsburgh Penguins to make a splash when it comes to the trade deadline as well. The Edmonton Oilers, one of the hottest teams since Christmas, are looking to make some moves at the deadline. Jesse, what position do you see them bolstering? I think I might know where you're going to go with this.
Honestly, I could see them using an upgrade at every position, but you can't feel confident going into the playoffs with Stuart Skinner and Calvin Pickard as your tandem. And personally, my first choice would be to get an insurance goalie. More realistically, though, I think they're in the market for a forward who can provide some depth scoring behind McDavid and Draisaitl.
Shane from Leafs Nation, what do you have?
I'm going to absolutely agree with Jess there. And I think maybe like Pavel Buchnevich from the St. Louis Blues. He's got a year left on his deal.
Yes.
Holland's kind of shown that he's been, you know, aggressive in the past, and he doesn't really like to take on rentals. He's more of like, if you got a year left, which Buch does. So that's always nice. And they have the assets to make it work. It's just like any trade in the NHL, it's going to come down to finances. So we'll see how they navigate that going forward.
NHL trade deadline a week away, and we're already seeing action out of Calgary as they have dealt Chris Tanev to the Dallas Stars. We're with Shane from Leafs Nation. Shane, break down this deal for us.
Yeah, first domino to fall for sure. It's been in the making here all season long. Even though Calgary's like, they're pretty close to that playoff race, that second wild card spot. So, you know, they're still trying to get in. So it's just kind of looking towards the future and also worrying about the present. So look for Noah Hanifin to be next, but also look for Craig Conroy to get back some players he can insert to the lineup right away. So I definitely think they're retooling on the fly, and Hanifin's definitely next.
Jesse, anything to add to that? Do you think that they're potentially going to be moving Markstrom?
I mean, sure sounds like they want to, but I don't know if teams are ready to take on that salary right now. Mm-hmm. I know we've heard that they potentially could go to the Kings, but they're a divisional rival, and New Jersey Devils, but they're not ready to pay up. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Let's talk about those Winnipeg Jets having a stellar season, a season that most didn't see them having. They've already made a couple transactions, picking up Monahan as well. Jesse, do you see them making any other moves before the NHL trade deadline?
So like you said, they already made their move up front. So I think maybe some defensive depth is the move for the Jets.
Shane from Leafs Nation, what do you have to add for the Jets?
Yeah, I don't know if Kevin Cheveldayoff will actually be too busy. I know the Jets have kind of surprised this year, so he kind of owes it to his players to try and make a move or two. But I don't know. I don't really see them doing too much. And I know my girlfriend's cousin, Logan Stanley, would probably like a little bit more playing time. Uh-huh. So it's not on the Jets. Maybe if they do make a deal for a defenseman with some NHL experience, maybe he's going the other way.
All right, let's get into the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it's not a matter of if they're going to make a move at the deadline, but it's how many, as the over-under for transactions by head office is set at a move and a half. We have Shane from Leafs Nation. Shane, what are your thoughts? This is your wheelhouse. Break it down for us.
Yeah, I would go over. I'd take the 2+ there. I don't know what the number is, but I definitely think Brad Treliving is going to make some moves. Mm-hmm. He'll get a right-handed defenseman. Don't worry. He's going to find a way to balance it out a little bit better, because Benoit and McCabe are staying together. He's going to split up Riley and Brody probably and try and get Riley a partner, at least for this year. But probably I could see him getting a righty with some term left on the contract. So as much as Chris Tanev kind of makes sense, and he does, but I don't think they want to pay that much for him. So unless there's a reasonable contract extension coming with it at a good price, I think maybe he would bite on the first round pick, but that first round picks get moved. It's just a matter of time. So I definitely think, you know, a righty on D, and I could see them getting another center, or at least somebody for the bottom six that can play center and play the wing. Somebody that's versatile, has got some playoff experience, brings a little bit of jam to their game. As you can see, the secondary scoring is like, it's there. It's just a matter of, you know, it being consistent at the right time. So moving John Tavares to third line center is probably the best thing that this team has done as far as from a coaching aspect. And now it's on the GM to kind of fill in those last couple gaps, because the team showed they can do some damage.
Birdman, anything to add to that? Anybody that you want to see on this Leafs squad?
I mean, that pretty much covers it, man. That was my thing as well. We need a legitimate partner to pair up with Riley. You know, I feel like Leaf fans have been beating that drum for a while. So
yes,
if they can just find somebody that can fit beside him, it doesn't have to be a star. I think that's the move.
How about the goaltending situation? Do we need to re-up on our backups?
No, I don't think so. They got full confidence in Joseph Woll. He seems to be healthy and ready to go. So you'll probably see him, you know, play as far as split time with Samsonov down the stretch. And they might lose Martin Jones at the deadline, because he's got to clear waivers to go down. So they might throw him in a trade just to get something back for him. So I think goalie wise, they're fine. Fleury would have been the guy to get, but he's staying in Minnesota. So I think that, yeah, they're pretty comfortable there moving forward.
NHL trade deadline. We're looking at the Ottawa Senators. They've had a subpar season. A lot of hope going into this year. So, Jesse, do you see the Ottawa Senators making any moves at the deadline, or do you think they're going to retain that core?
Things haven't gone the way the franchise may have hoped this year, and I think it would be wise to be sellers at the deadline. I think you look to shed some salary, like maybe Vladimir Tarasenko and his $5 million contract. I mean, he was just like a hired gun, and it's not going the way they hoped. So that's a guy that you send off. And this team's already at the cap ceiling, so I bet that Tarasenko would probably waive his no-trade clause to play with a contender.
Shane from Leafs Nation, do you think that they're going to stand pat at the deadline, or should they be sellers?
They'll be sellers. They'll get rid of their pending free agents. Tarasenko, for sure. He's going somewhere. Like Jess said, it just hasn't worked out in Ottawa, and they got to pivot quick, and they're spending money, and management is going to be aggressive, but I don't necessarily think they're going to get much for results.
NHL trade deadline. We got the Montreal Canadiens. It's been another less than stellar year for Habs fans. Shane from Leafs Nation, what do you think the Habs are going to do at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think Kent Hughes will be active for sure. Tanner Pearson is a name that I think will probably get dealt, pending UFA. Want to get the contract off the books, try and at least get a mid-round pick for him. And then Jake Allen. They got three goalies. Ooh. They've carried three goalies the entire year. So he's got a little bit of a modified no trade, but I could see maybe Colorado being in the mix there. But I do think they will find a home for him, because carrying three goalies just – it doesn't work. And with the progression they're trying to get the other two youngsters, look for Allen to be dealt.
Bird, anything to add to that?
I think there is a lot of young talent here. I think the Habs, like you said, need a clear-cut number one goalie. But maybe to a team like the Oilers that want that backup or that insurance goalie, I think that would be a good spot.
I like that. And there you have it. That was Shane from the Leafs Nation. Always good to have him on, man. He is a goddamn beautician. So great to be able to have him to chat hockey all the time, which is dope. Yeah, I mean, hopefully we don't have to re-record any of this stuff, because chances are I will be hammered off some pina coladas and probably sunburnt. And it won't make for as good content, but or maybe it will. Who fucking knows? So yeah, we'll see. We're going to be releasing all that as the days come. So keep a lookout for that, and make sure you just follow us. Fucking follow us online, YouTube and Instagram. Follow Tony Bet too, for crying in the sink.
Like, and guys, TikTok,
man, fucking TikTok, and all these goddamn platforms. Just please. Make sure that we're not just doing this and just, you know, old men yelling at the clouds here.
yeah.
Like, I mean, it's, help it, us we, out here. It's, you know, definitely, I feel like, I don't know, like with you and I, like we send each other memes and stuff all the time on Instagram. So I feel like that's our platform of choice. And like, it's been showing that, you know, a lot of growth has happened on there as well. But, you know, TikTok, yeah, fucking give a boomer a follow here. So, yeah, that's all we got to say about that. But we are signing off for the week. Like we mentioned, we'll be back with that Jack Armstrong interview the following week. Anything else that we have coming up that I'm forgetting about right now?
We're off to Orlando after that, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Go see the Raptors and the Magic, Raptors making a push for the play-in, and the Magic making a push for the sixth seed, honestly.
Yeah.
Staying out of the play-in.
Two teams that are kind of, I mean, like it's nuts that the Raptors are kind of there.
I honestly, dude, like, I know we're going to wrap this up quick, but
yeah,
I think they should go for it.
Why not?
Because they're going to lose that first round pick regardless. Why not make it this year when the draft is weaker, right? Like, just fucking go for it. Get these guys more playing time and more experience, right? Even if it is one game. Right.
Yeah, I do agree. I do agree, because this play-in game will matter so much more than all the other ones that Scotty Barnes has been in already, because he's the guy. So this will be a huge learning experience for him. Even if they can get a win in the play-in.
I mean, with Trae Young out now, dude, like the Hawks might fall.
The Hawks will fall.
Yeah, I mean, just as just an aside, but they're also going to get an extended look at what the Hawks might look like without Trae Young, right? Mm-hmm. And just DeJounte Murray. So
yeah,
maybe it works out for them. And
yeah.
You know, I think we chatted about that on a previous episode that Trae Young or DeJounte Murray might get shipped out somewhere in the offseason.
One's got to go. Yeah, and I feel like Atlanta is way too hesitant to do that to their star pick. So, yeah, Atlanta, don't envy you if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan. Same thing with the Brooklyn Nets. You guys fucking suck. you guys stink, dude. Yeah, but we'll be getting into all that Raptors talk with Jack Armstrong from TSN and the Raptors broadcaster as well. That is the next episode coming up. We have the Raptors coverage going down, a real milestone for us personally and on the show. It's going to be nuts bringing you interviews from Darko Rajakovic and any other Raptors players that we get on as well, and the Orlando Magic players, of course, as well. And then followed by that, we have another stint for the Easter weekend down in Orlando. Going to be having more announcements that come out in the coming weeks, but for the time being, that's it. That's what we got. We've been pumping out a lot, and hopefully you guys have been enjoying it. So make sure you follow along, like, share, all that good stuff. But for Josh, Elijah, Birdman, have yourselves a great start to your March, and enjoy the weather, enjoy the sunshine, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Peace out.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundel from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.